The House on Burnt Mountain. Written by Kendrick Smith. Narrated by Ryan Haugen. Dedication. To my baby brother, William Rawson Smith, a gifted writer, talented athlete, beloved family man, and lover of history and good books. He loved Burnt Mountain and left us far too soon. We miss him. Prologue. August 24th, 1649. It had been an eventful day on the Earth's surface. In China, the great Ming Imperial Dynasty, which had been ruling the country since 1368, finally collapsed, and the Manchu-led Great Qing, which would become China's last Orthodox dynasty, began taking its place. At the same time, 5,100 miles to the west, Oliver Cromwell, having orchestrated the execution of British King Charles I, began his violent and ill-fated conquest of Ireland. And in the American colonies, 3,300 miles further west, the assemblies in Maine and Maryland were each passing toleration acts, which for the first time allowed religious freedom within their respective colonies. Important historical events were unfolding worldwide. But far above, invisible to them all, a nameless comet, nearly 4 miles wide, sped toward Earth at more than 110,000 miles per hour. It had already traversed most of the galaxy, covering more than 3.5 trillion miles during its 8-million-year existence. But this was its first entry into our solar system. Typical of most comets, its surface consisted of mostly ice with frozen smatterings of ammonia and carbon dioxide. But in its rocky core, among the chunks of iron and nickel, there were traces of an exotic radioactive metal not listed on any terrestrial periodic table. This substance had never existed on Earth. Since entering our solar system 4 years earlier, the comet had weaved among the planets, constantly shifting its course in response to their differing movements and gravities, but consistently veering toward Earth and, had it continued its trajectory, the world as we know it would have ended. While friction from the atmosphere would have vaporized 2/3 of the comet's mass, the surviving chunk would still have been the size of a city block when it slammed into the western part of Nevada, delivering the energy of 100 million megatons and hurtling billions of tons of superheated, sulfur-laden dust and debris into the air. The flaming detritus would have engulfed the atmosphere and ignited a worldwide firestorm, as if the sky itself had caught fire, incinerating most forests and cities, and in the process generating vast quantities of nitrogen oxides, which, when fused with the sulfurous dust, would form a corrosive acid rain that would have dissolved the planet's protective ozone layer. On the surface, the acid would strip bare any remaining vegetation. For years after the impact, the suspended particles would block out the sun's light, plunging the devastated Earth into a deep freeze, a permanent winter. Any humans lucky or clever enough to withstand the initial firestorm would be doomed to suffer a slow death of cold or starvation. Like the dinosaurs that preceded them, the Homo sapiens species would ultimately be extinguished, and the planet would become a lifeless rock for thousands of years. Fortunately, the moon's gravitational field was strong enough to alter the comet's course by slightly more than 3 degrees, and because of that change, the mass glanced off the outer atmosphere and, instead of crashing into the unsuspecting Earth, veered away along an altered path toward the sun, which it orbited and, using the gravitational slingshot to pick up speed, soared out the far side of the solar system, never to return. History failed to record or even notice this near catastrophic event. But the abrupt change in the comet's direction caused a jagged piece, about 50 yards across, to cleave off and continue hurtling toward the surface. Most of it burned up in the atmosphere, but the remaining chunk, less than 5 feet wide,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?